Welcome to Let Love, a podcast with the Sisters of Life. We invite you to join us for conversation, looking at life through the lens of love. You are loved, you are made in God's image, and your life matters. Let's talk about it.
Hi, and welcome back to Let Love Podcast. This is Sister Veritas,
Sister Annie Macule,
Sister Lumen Gloria,
and Sister Mary Grace.
And we're just thrilled to be with you. And Sister Lumen, thanks for coming back.
Welcome back.
We're so happy.
We missed you.
Good to have you.
Missed you too.
Four is our new favorite number.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's been so long, even though we had breakfast with you, you know, and live with you and prayed with you.
But it's much cozier with you down here.
Yeah. That's great. So we're just, yeah, it's fun to be here. And well, yesterday was Passion Sunday. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like our last Lent podcast before our Easter episode, which is great. But
it's wild.
It's kind of fun because this whole Sunday procession gospel where Jesus enters Jerusalem, just the theme of like welcome, it's kind of cool. I like it.
Yeah. Preparing the way for things.
Yeah. I know. It reminded me of a story. One of our sisters was coming back. Anyways, as sisters, sometimes we do things that are a little over the top, but worthily. But one of our sisters was getting back from a 30-day retreat. And so they decided to make a huge sign that was probably like 10 feet wide on a big sheet of paper. And they painted, you know, welcome back from your 30-day. And they signed it and all these types of things. And they had this brilliant idea of going to the end of the driveway and holding out the sign so that when she drove up the driveway, she would basically break through the paper, which was,
in theory,
a great idea. But unfortunately, the paint ended up getting onto the car.
Oh,
so it was like,
no.
Flop.
Oh, no.
But it was a grand entrance all the same.
Nice. The car's awesome. Never been the same. It reminds me too, I remember a novitiate sister, and you have to help me out with this, but it was coming up to Pentecost one year and we just wanted to go all out, like good sisters, you know? So, you know, we had these crazy ideas of like tying all these like linen and sheets to the ceiling of a room and like
ladders.
Yeah, that's right. Like sisters on ladders. Like we just wanted this epic feeling of like, you know, Holy Spirit's coming. Let's just do everything up, prepare the way as if more sheets means more Holy Spirit. I don't know. The funny thing was when we finally went into the vigil and we had some praise and worship and prayers that night, it was hilarious because like mid, you know, deep prayers, like sheets are falling down and sisters can't see each other. You see half a sister's face. And anyway, it just ended up being a laughing night, but we really wanted to make way for the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Grand entrance for the Holy Spirit. Tent revival.
Yeah. So, we love our welcome parties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know what birthdays were. I didn't realize I actually really never had a birthday party till I entered the convent.
Really?
Oh my goodness. I mean, you know, we celebrated. I definitely had birthdays. Don't worry. But just the way that, I mean, Sisters of Life,
it's true.
We do it in a unique way, but I mean, from the signs on the walls, else do we do?
The cake, the candles, the
pictures,
the songs.
The baby pictures.
Oh, baby pictures come out. It's the best.
It is the best when you see your sister as a baby. You're like,
No, you just fall in love with her all over again.
You're like, I thought I loved you, and then more.
Yeah, it's just so cute.
And we ask each other stories of the birth.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're like, I didn't know there was one, but I'll find out.
How your parents met. It's just such a fun way to like celebrate how you are welcome into the world, you know? And like every year it's like this welcome again to this new year. It's so special.
Yeah, nothing's wasted on a welcome.
Yeah, you were all very cute babies. Although I haven't seen your baby pictures yet.
Not
Sister
yet.
Anne.
She's coming up.
Well, it's kind of cool to talk about because it's like, this whole gospel is welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, such a powerful gospel.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Mm-hmm.
Sister Lumen, did you want to start us in prayer?
Sure, again. My Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being with us, for being present to us. Please grant us the grace of drawing near to you, especially during this time of Holy Week. We thank you for all the ways that you've entered into our lives already. We pray that you enter in new and deeper ways, that we welcome you, that we be ready for your coming, that we prepare for your passion, and ultimately for your resurrection. Lord, we praise you. Give us a double portion of your Spirit today and every day. And we ask all this in your holy and saving name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, sister. Okay, so the gospel is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he
he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.'" And they went away and found a colt tied at the door out in the open street, and they untied it. And those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and he sat upon it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest."
Amen.
Amen.
That's so beautiful. Thanks, sister.
Yeah. Thank you, Sister Anne. Yeah, I was really fascinated even as you're reading, Sister Anne, like the first five lines of this is like, you just see all these little roles that so many different people have, you know, and here we see Jesus literally preparing the way for his passion. And yet there's all these details that are part of it, the preparation that he could have done any of this on his own and just winged it together. But the fact that he chooses, yeah, everybody to have a necessary and small, but completely particular and vital role actually in preparing the way for his passion.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I really love that, Sister Mary Grace, because I think I'm just so struck of like all the people involved in this situation, right? Like the two disciples he sends, right? The people who own the colt, the bystanders on the street, mm-hmm. like everyone's involved in this operation, you know? And I just love that all of it revolves around need. Like the master has yes. need of it, right?
Yeah.
God Almighty, who created the universe, has allowed himself to have a need. And it's just, I think it's so beautiful because it's like he's showing us an example to us of like, we need to have needs. It's important to have needs for mm-hmm. the sake of communion.
Mm-hmm.
Needs actually create communion because mm-hmm. my gaps are the place for someone else to bring their gifts mm-hmm. and vice versa. And mm-hmm. actually communion can only happen with this exchange of vulnerabilities.
Wow.
And mm-hmm. I just think it's such a powerful word that he's giving us yeah. of the master has need of it. Mm-hmm. And how, wow, look how he's literally drawing all these people together because of that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And for us to not be afraid of our need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a word that our need is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
For his divine plan to mm-hmm. unfold, that every detail is part of that.
Mm-hmm. Keeps me thinking about Mother Mary Frances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got these really awesome conferences that she gives to her sisters. Mm-hmm. She's a Poor Clare nun in Roswell, New Mexico. And so she would give these conferences to her sisters pretty frequently. And one of them, I love the beginning part of it. I'm going to paraphrase. But in essence, it's like the community doesn't need your strengths and your talents. Actually, the community needs your weaknesses
mm-hmm.
because that's how the community knows that you need love. Mm-hmm. And that's how the community can love.
Mm-hmm.
That's so beautiful. That's I love awesome. That. And I feel like it just strikes right at like that. Yeah. The enemy's tactic to compare and to have competition. It's like, yeah, God intentionally doesn't give each of us every gift, you know, like he intentionally wants us to depend on one another. And, you know, you have incredible capacities that I don't have, you know, your capacity to cook and to be organized, like the way your brain works. I'm like, I don't have that gift, but I'm cool. so grateful that you have that mm-hmm. gift because, mm-hmm. you know, it upholds me. And then, yeah, Sister Mary Grace, your capacity to, yeah, to Uh-oh. Speak.
Just kidding.
I mean, we were just on a trip together and just, yeah, your capacity to on the spot be able to just, yeah, speak truth to people and give the charism it makes me feel secure. And I know that, yeah, your gifts are going to bless me. And, you know, Sister Veritas, what do you give? Everything.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, your capacity to uphold us and to, honestly, I think the thing that I've received from you the most is just, you make me want to be myself. You make me want to give the unique gift that I am.
Mm-hmm.
But really, like, that's a charism that you have.
Absolutely.
And it's just beautiful that in the body, like, God entrusts particular things to each of us. And we don't need to compete with one another. Like, we can rejoice. Like, wow, Amen. Thank you that, mm-hmm. you know, Sister Lumen and Sister Mary Grace, Sister Veritas, like, that everyone has these gifts and mm-hmm. I can lean on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. so beautiful.
Well, mm-hmm. Sister Anne, we need your spirit of encouragement. And you have a capacity to see the good in another in a profound way, actually, and name it, which a lot of us, need a lot more courage to do that. But you do that freely. So
that's true. yeah. to speak and sing truth over people. Amen. That's a huge gift. And it's liberating.
Yeah, next time you affirm me, could you just sing it? That'd be really lovely. Go much deeper if you did that. Yeah.
It's
well,
so
I love
beautiful.
That too, because it's such a, like going on to this gospel, it's like you see, yeah, people preparing the way for Jesus. And almost what you're saying, Sister Anne, it's like our needs actually provide a way forward for one another.
Yeah.
You know, we can be so caught up on what I need and what I need to get done, which is important. But actually my sister's need opens up a pathway forward. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's the place of my next gift.
Yeah.
And being aware of each other's needs isn't a negative thing, but it actually, yeah, it opens the pathway before each other.
Yeah.
And you think too how much like it's a gift to us as well to be able to lean into that, my sister's need in that place.
Yeah.
It's actually a gift for me. Like I love another version of this gospel where the disciples actually talk to the owner of the small donkey, the colt. And they're like, what are you doing? And they're like, well, the Lord has need of it. They're like, oh, okay. But you just think from like all eternity, God ordained that and planned that, prepared their hearts to like freely give their donkey to Jesus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like how unique and unrepeatable like their mission in that moment was for salvation history,
wow.
right? And what a gift it was for their hearts, you know? Like there's no, when we give or when we receive, there's always like a win-win,
yeah.
you know, in the sense of the Lord wanting to bless both parties.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, we never are like using another person, you know, for our use. It's like, there's always this mutuality, mutual regard.
Mm. Wow.
And
beautiful.
The Lord is like, in this gospel, it's just so beautifully laid out.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it too, it's showing us, I think just like a next level experience of communio that we can all anticipate, like just again, this gesture of, you know, especially the palm branches going down and sharing coats before the donkey, like the Lord's proceeding. You know, we've been talking about a couple of weeks of like the effort to, see each other's needs. And, you know, when you see something, you know, to move forward to one another or share our own needs with each other. But there's another element here that is almost like an act of love that anticipates someone's need even before you see it, you know, to actually look. Yeah, it's like an invitation not only to be there for each other in times of need when we notice a gap, but almost to look ahead for one another, to anticipate each other's needs. And I've experienced it. This is like a powerful experience of communio. When someone has thought about your need before you even get to it, it can be very powerfully bonding and actually, I think, protective of a lot of slip ups that we could easily go into, a lot of lies that we could believe. If someone anticipates a need and addresses it before you even get to it.
Mm-hmm. I've experienced that for sure. I mean, all of you have been like, I've experienced so powerfully. Like, you're like, oh, sister, by the way, this thing. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so grateful you thought of that. Like, it is so powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me think actually of a conversation you and I had, Sister Mary Grace.
Yeah.
We were talking to someone the other day, and what she was sharing actually deeply resonates with other things we've heard about this, but just this reality of those who are really heavily involved in like the New Age or the occult movements and then encountering Christ and coming into the Christian community. And it was so powerful.
It was fascinating. Just the description of both.
Yeah, the description of both of them. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah. And when she talks about it too, and like just reflecting on from many people's experience of being caught up in practices of the New Age and occult, that like there is like a certain gathering of people, like people are together. It's a movement. There's a lot. And just the difference of that experience of community compared to a Christian community. And I remember, just descriptions we heard of, you know, people involved in the New Age. There's very much like a preoccupation of like, what am I getting out of this group?
Mm-hmm.
What am I able to get back out of here? How am I gaining?
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of division. And everybody is kind of like has their own sense of God, you know, their experience of God, my truth, my way. And you bring forward your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of living like in isolated islands amongst an assortment of people.
Mm-hmm.
And people we've heard that have come from this have said, like, when you're in it, you're blind to it. You're not even aware of how divisive it is. It's just the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Until you experience something different.
Yeah.
And then she described to us, remember her experience of her first time ever being in a Christian community. And it was like walking into a new world.
Yeah. Just the power of this deep communion. And as you were saying earlier, like people anticipating needs of others, like, and being so mindful of others. And it was this experience of being with everyone's for you, with you. You're not like an island, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it was like stark. The difference was stark.
Yeah. And I think at times we can underestimate like these little gestures of kindness, which see, you know, even in the gospel of like laying down a coat or answering the master or putting down the palm trees in our own way of, you know, whatever mum's changing diapers and doing another mm-hmm. dishes or yeah, even in the convent of looking out for each other and anticipating each other's needs. Like these little things are loaded with light and mm-hmm. power. And mm-hmm. actually they're a counterfront to darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The more that we, yeah. And I mean, she was mentioning even things, you know, of like just looking out for each other, knowing, mm-hmm. wow, this person needs a lift there, or maybe a friend can help her out with a job, or wow, she's mm-hmm. having a really hard day. Let's talk to her. Like these efforts toward one another mm-hmm. cast out darkness.
Yeah, it's true.
Even last night, I'm going to point out Sister Lumen for a second here. But it was, I mean, it's like literally as you're talking, I'm like, this is exactly what I experienced last night cool. from you of, yeah, so last night I was just taking care of a couple of things and it was almost 9 p.m. and I still needed to iron some linens for mass tomorrow. And so I went to go get the linens and Sister Lumen is doing the dishes in the kitchen mm-hmm. by herself. And she just said, oh, sister, you know, I took care of that for you. And wow. it was such a beautiful experience of like, wow, she saw my need. And I did not even ask you for that. But you saw what I needed and you knew that I didn't have time to do it. And you knew that I'd be doing it late and you anticipated beautiful. Me. Yeah, it was just such a blessing. And I felt so seen, honestly, by that. And it was just, yeah, a beautiful example of what it can look like practically, you know, in your day to day of, wow, I can see that someone has a lot on their plate. And how can mm-hmm. how can I anticipate a need that is entrusted to them? You know, can I help them in any way? So thanks, Sister Lumen.
Cool. You're welcome. It's yeah. fun when you look around and you're like, everybody in the community is doing all these different things. And now there's this thing that needs to be done. And oh, I get to do it. It's like actually a gift for the heart.
Well, you're sister.
Like, oh, like that's something little that I can do. I mean, I can turn on an iron. I can iron a linen. I could do yeah. that.
And the message, Sister Anne, that conveys to you mm-hmm. is like so much more powerful than even the gesture.
Definitely.
But the mm-hmm. message and the truth comes through that simple gesture.
Yeah.
It's stunning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like the above and beyond of love, you know, like I think that was what was striking me in this passage was like everything just, it's like going the extra mile. It's like when you love someone, you have the capacity to, yeah, see and want to make a gift of self and sacrifice in ways. And we do this in friendships and relationships all the time, but it's like, you know, the cloaks that were thrown and the branches that were thrown on the ground, like they weren't necessary, but it's like, wow. Love does that. Love goes beyond. Love wants to go the extra mile.
Cool.
And I see this even in our life. And really we try to live this with one another first, but just a desire to affirm the being of the other. And, you know, one of the ways I think that this is seen is in our Hope and Healing mission, which is a beautiful, mission of accompaniment. It's such a gift. It's honestly, yeah, such a privilege for our hearts as sisters to accompany women who are seeking healing after the experiences of abortion, and these beautiful women who allow their hearts to be transformed, you know, by Jesus's mercy and healing, and yeah, really the Lord just making all things new, and mm-hmm. such powerful witnesses of hope and new life, you know, that Jesus brings. So it's for us, it's such a privilege to accompany them and to just watch, yeah, really the wonders of God in their heart. But one of the things that we do is on our retreat weekends with them is just to go the extra mile of love, you know, to show every heart, no matter what they're going through, no matter what they've suffered, no matter what sorrows or brokenness that they've encountered or gotten caught up to, that they are worthy of reverence, of intentionality, mm-hmm. of a love that sees and is extravagant, you know? So it looks as simple as, you know, when we have the meal for them, that one of the evenings of our retreat, you know, white tablecloths are put on the tables and freshly pressed, beautiful flower napkins mm-hmm. are placed. And there are sisters who serve the meal. And this can really, yeah, just convey the truth that your being is a gift and mm-hmm. nothing defines you other than the Father's love. And we just want to participate in that truth for you and really go above and beyond and cook a gorgeous meal for you because you're worth it.
Mm-hmm. It's like we need these truths in flesh, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Jesus came in flesh as a man, and truths that we know and believe about one another. And actually, I think in more and more, the culture speaks to us lies like you're cheap or yeah, your life doesn't matter or you're replaceable, things like this that we hear all the mm-hmm. time and can get threatened with. We almost need to like double up on the mm-hmm. truth and mm-hmm. like, yes, spend energy and time upholding and making present real and tangible things that we can see and touch and smell mm-hmm. that speak these truths as well. you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think actually of the welcome signs. We have a tradition when a sister goes on a trip and then when she returns, we have welcome signs up at the door. Sister Mary Grace is like the queen of welcome signs.
Yeah, listen, we travel a lot, so they're going up left, right, and center. We do,
but very creative welcome signs. But it's such, honestly, like it does something to the heart when you walk in after a trip and you see your name, like, welcome home, sister. And then often there's little fun, other little comments, which are fun. But it's so affirms the being and like fills you with joy and like, wow, I'm welcome here. I belong here. I'm loved here. Like it's, as you're saying, it really casts out lies and it replaces them with truth. And it's so powerful.
Yeah.
Even just welcome, right? Yeah. Like it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Nothing is wasted in these small gestures. They're actually loaded with power.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it takes faith to believe in that and get the habit of doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to find ways. Yeah. It's so worthy.
It makes a difference. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times we've put little, when we have like a priest over for dinner or like a guest or someone over for dinner, and we just make like a little name sign at their plate. You know, it's just, it's like simple, like a cute little paper, but says their name. How many people over, like literally all the time, are like, can I take that home with me? And we're like, definitely. Like,
no, we need that for next time.
Yeah. But it's like so meaningful, you know? Like
definitely.
Those little gestures.
Yeah. And it's like, it speaks the truth that someone has anticipated my coming. Mm-hmm. You know, someone has prepared a way for me, looked forward to me coming. Someone has, awaited my welcome, is glad that I'm here. Like what it speaks is powerful.
It's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And even, I was just thinking about the story of the Benedictine monks in one, I don't know if it was one monastery particularly or anyway, but there's this tradition. If a guest came to the door, all of the monks would stop what they're doing and all come to the front door and prostrate themselves before the visitor.
Wow. You should do that.
That'd be amazing.
That would be epic.
Because it was like, this is Christ coming to us and we will venerate him. We will honor him.
That's stunning.
That's awesome.
It was like, wow. I mean, that's such an awesome example. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I love that because honestly, when I was reading this passage, what was striking me was like, wow, this is, I mean, I know it's extravagant, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, but in some ways it's like a revelation of what every heart is worthy of. Like this reverence and this honor. And obviously, you know, we're revering God here, but you know, C.S. Lewis has this really powerful quote. I don't know if we've shared it before on the podcast, but where he basically says, you know, next to the Blessed Sacrament, your neighbor is the holiest, you know, holiest thing in the world here. And it's true. It's like, just the reverence for human life. And what we see here, I love that, sister. It's like, in some ways, this is what each heart is worthy of like, this welcoming, this anticipation. I mean, this is what we do for every child that comes into the world. You know, parents spend months preparing a room and a place and a space. And it's like, can we do that in our hearts for each other?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And I think too, I really love that, Sister Anne. And I think too, the Lord in this, he also teaches us how to receive the love of another, because it's like people are literally like throwing their coats down, throwing leafy branches, singing Hosanna in the highest. And like, you know, I think sometimes we might be like, I feel embarrassed, or like, no, like I got it. I don't need your help, or I don't need your acclamation, or whatever. We can kind of feel. And so I think we can sometimes put up barriers to receiving the good things people want to give or the gifts people want to give us. Mm-hmm. And the Lord here is giving this really beautiful image of like how to create communion by allowing ourselves to receive good things, to receive the love of another and not put up barriers, right? Mm-hmm.
And you said something earlier, sister, about the word like untying. Mm-hmm. Can you share about that?
Yeah, I really love this passage. I got to be on my 30-day this summer, and you know, you get so much time in silence. But I did multiple hours of prayer with just this passage. It was awesome.
Wow.
And most of the time I got stuck on the word untie. Mm. But I think the gift here is this reality of like, when we notice the good in another, when we move forward toward the good of the other, and recognize in them that they are this place of worthy of love. Mm-hmm. Like they are worthy of love. It's almost like untying their hearts. Like, okay, I actually can untie you so that way you can grow in freedom and that we can go together to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like we can move toward him together and become more whole, more fully ourselves, more alive, which really it's not possible without communion. So the cult's not untying himself. Like, it's just not happening.
He doesn't have opposable thumbs.
Right. It's a little hard for him. But yeah, the gift of like getting to move into those places with others, whether it's places of need or where we see the good in another, or just want to reverence those that we see and we encounter so that they know that they're good and can come alive. It's like we get to come alive there too with them in community, because their good is our good and our good is their good. It's like,
yeah, it's just so necessary to untie that's the burdens brothers. So
it's awesome. I love that.
Well, it reminds me too, like I feel like our college ministry sometimes, like a day on a college campus is a microcosm for the convent life.
That's true.
Let me explain more. But like, you know, we have this, well, this new tradition that we're doing where we, you know, we have these little statements on stickers about, you know, the truth, like, you know, God wants you to exist or your life is irreplaceable. And we kind of stand in like the busiest areas of campus to try and hand these out. And it takes a heroic act of vulnerability, even as a sister. I mean, we're already obvious what we're about. But to move towards someone who is not open to receiving and the vulnerability of that is, and just, I mean, we get rejected more than we get received. But it's fascinating when someone stops. Like, I'll never forget the other day that you went up to this gentleman and he was kind of like, he was moving fast. And you just said to him as you're giving out a sticker, you know, your goodness is not dependent on your grades, something like that.
Yeah.
And he was like bolting. He didn't want anything of it, but he literally stopped and said, sister, you have no idea how much I needed to hear that.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and to me, it's been such a conviction in my own heart of like, you know, what about my, you know, in the hidden home and community where it can be a real vulnerable thing to move out toward another and to speak a truth or just to do a good act. A lot of us are moving so fast on the way, but how much we need to hear these truths and literally unlock one another when we approach each other in these ways and the courage it takes on the other end to receive it, to actually listen, to let oneself be loved in that place. But it's powerful. I mean, it changed that young guy's life. And I'm like, oh my goodness, well, at least his day that he needed that word. And we're unaware half the time of what words we need until someone approaches.
Yeah. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you're right. How it, as both of you are saying, like it unties, it frees from bondage, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, I tangibly experience this often when, you know, we have large rosaries and sometimes they get stuck in things like chairs or under
airplane chairs,
airplane, oh my or under like the wheels of your rolly chair.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes you actually can't get out. Like you're like, I'm like, sister, little man, help me.
Yeah.
Cause you're stuck. And it's like, you need someone to untie you from the wheelie chair.
Literally.
But it does. Cool. It's like such an image of what we can do for each other in community by, making a gift of ourselves, also receiving the gift that it gives to us and speaking truth, as you're saying, to each other and over each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Well, it's amazing just to talk about and actually to name these little things, because in the context of this gospel, like these little details, they're not just meaningless tasks. They're literally participating in the pathway to the passion. Like this is what these little acts of kindness are what Jesus is literally using as his platform to the passion. Like this leads to the great act of salvation of history. Yeah. You know, that Jesus could have done this all on his own and showed us the whole way, but he's like, actually, no, I need you. I need you. I need you. Every hidden little detail is necessary and part of my, redemption of the world, actually. This is no small matter.
Yeah.
That's so hopeful because it's so easy just to think that our days or our lives can feel meaningless sometimes, especially when you get caught up in just the ordinary day to day. And I think it's, that's such a lie of the enemy that you're naming of like, your life has no purpose, it has no meaning, or nobody sees you, God doesn't see you. Like, it's a narrowing vision, you know? And and really what God is showing us here is just this, the essentialness of you and the essentialness of what is entrusted to you. And really, it doesn't, in some ways, like, your value doesn't come from what you do. Like, doesn't come from these tasks, and yet God still entrusts these things to you. And it's like this beautiful affirmation of our being, and yet God inviting us to make an offering. So whether that's, you know, if you're sick on your bed and you can't do anything, like that's the gift entrusted to you, the gift of your being, the gift of your offering. If you're being asked to clean the house or fold laundry or go pick up your kids for the 10th time this day, you know, from their different events, like God sees you and God knows the gift that you're giving, and it's so beautiful to him. You know, it's these little hidden acts that are making way for Jesus and making way for God's will and love in your life.
That's powerful, sister.
It's
like, that Jesus poses like, why are you doing this? Like, why am I doing this, Lord? Like, why, what's the point of this task right now? Why am I alone again? Or why am I going through this? Or why is this not lifted? And just hearing the master say to us, I have need of this. You know, trust in me. This is part of my redemptive plan. I'm going to do something with this and it's up to me. I'm just asking you. It's stunning.
Wow. That is so beautiful.
Yeah. And you always say, it's pretty modest, but it helps me so much. When you talk about like the infinite power of like every act of love, what's your mind?
Every act of love is eternal.
Oh, I love hearing that. It's such a good reminder.
But it's true. Like, and I mean, I just think of like the person who got to like put their cloak, you know, beneath the feet of the donkey or like on the back of the donkey for Jesus to sit on. Like he knew from all eternity, he knew who would do that. And like, what a blessing that was to him, you know, like, and he knew like, Sarah so-and-so, this is her coat I'm sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knew that. He knew every fiber of that.
Wow,
every,
that's beautiful.
Every fiber, every thread of that coat.
Yeah.
And he received it as this profound act of love. Hidden though it was. We don't know whose coats were on the ground, but he knew. Mm-hmm. He knew each one.
That's so beautiful. Know?
It's so beautiful. And I think too, like I was struck, it's not in the gospel that's right at Mass, but right after the end of what's read in Mass, you know, Hosanna in the highest, I was so struck by this. It says, and he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked round at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. It's just so fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. This whole thing, the cloaks under, like all these hidden acts of love, this triumphal procession. What does he do? He literally goes to the temple and just looks around. Mm. It's like he's not like deeply in prayer. He literally looks around and it's almost like this, you know, the temple, he talks about the temple of his body, but also like this, it's foreshadowing like the church, you know, and like, the whole point is to worship the Father in spirit and truth together and coming to the place, you know, as he said earlier, like allow the temple to be destroyed and rebuild it in 3 days. But like how all of this, all these acts of love actually, help prepare the way for his passion, his death, his resurrection.
They participate in the kingdom coming.
Yeah. Like nothing is little in the sight of Jesus. Like everything matters to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What a word of hope too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That Jesus is speaking into every act of love to say, this has meaning, this has purpose, this has infinite value to me, what you're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like the heart of Jesus is saying, I mean, none of us want to be alone, you know, in our life, in our day to day or in our suffering, but it's like, neither does Jesus, you know, like Jesus invites us to be with him in this week in a particular way, like to be invited and participating to, prepare the way, but also to stay with him, to be with him. Like, he doesn't just ask us or entrust things for us just to get him somewhere. It's like he wants us with him along the way, you know? So just, this invitation of, friendship with Jesus along the journey that it doesn't end at the donkey and it doesn't end at the coat. It doesn't end at the branch. It's like, follow him, follow him all the way to Calvary, follow him all the way to the resurrection, stay with him in this time.
Mm-hmm. That's such an awesome word too, because even as we've been talking about communio now this entire Lent, we're coming to the end. This is like, you know, Holy Week of this journey that we've just been, looking at how God invites us into the common life together and in all of our different ways, whether at home, our colleagues, our community groups, everywhere. It's constant call into communion. And it reminds me, you know, I think we were talking about this earlier. Like, I mean, one question we get every now and then, which is kind of funny.
Yep.
Do you remember it, Sister Veritas?
People are kind of like, how do you do it? Yeah. Like, got a lot of women living in the same house together.
Like, you know, and then the eyebrows go up. They're like, you know, what happens there behind closed doors?
Like, what's the drama?
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful because it's kind of like, it's, you know what? It's kind of impossible on a natural
level. You think about it. Yeah.
Definitely.
But I mean, we're one of the most international houses in the convent. Just to be honest, like we're all four corners of the world represented. There's a lot of difference.
There is.
And variety, you know?
It's amazing. And it's awesome because our founder, Cardinal O'Connor, who was, again, a Navy chaplain for 27 years, like a man's man, but somehow he really understood women's religious life. But he knew, he's like, basically, this is impossible without Jesus.
Amen.
It's impossible without the Eucharistic Jesus. Mm-hmm. And how is community possible? Jesus. To be our source and center, everything. Mm-hmm. We center our lives around Jesus in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it all possible and happen, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as we walk towards Holy Week, it's like the passion, what the life and blood of Jesus that he gives us, this is the cause of all communio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus is the cause of all communio with all of our effort, which is important, all these ways we're finding to be there for each other, anticipate each other's needs, to share our needs. Ultimately, the source, the foundation of all this is only ever possible because of what Jesus is going to do this week, that he makes it possible and sustains us when we fail in it, gives us what we need when we don't even know what we need.
Mm.
You know, that this is the whole point of the week. Jesus is defeating division and bringing back the possibility of communio wherever we are.
Awesome. Epic line. Title.
There it is. Work done.
Great. Well, this was really rich. I'm really, I feel my heart is moved. And I, it's hard to wrap up. It's kind of wild. It just flew by. Holy Week just, actually Lent just flew by. Yeah. I can't believe it's the sixth week.
Yeah.
But maybe just to end, maybe some challenges for this Holy Week.
Yeah, just thinking and talking about like the particularities of like God needs you, like you as you are and what he has invited you to right now. Yeah, just thinking like for each of us just to
like really engage what we've been given this week, like with an act of faith, like, God, I believe that you have me here and that you're with me in it. And that this is a way that I can love with your love and let Jesus like live in me in a new way this week. Mm. So yeah, just thinking like, where are little places within my life that I can make just these acts of faith? Like, yes, this is meaningful. Mm. This matters. Mm. First what comes to mind.
Beautiful system.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Yeah, I was thinking actually of something sort of similar, so I'll just piggyback off of you. But I just was thinking, just ask for the grace this week. Like, just ask for the grace to just be open to whatever God has in store for you this week. You know, sometimes we're building up to like a huge weekend, and it's the holiest days of the year. And so sometimes you can get stuck on like what it's supposed to look like or be like, and just ask for great openness. Like, Father, I just trust what you were saying. So like, I trust what you have for me. And just, I want to be open to whatever your plan is for me this week. How many just receive whatever graces you want to pour out. Just ask for the grace to live it as Jesus desires.
You know, I was really struck, Sister Lumen, by what you were sharing about untying the colt. Yeah. I love donkeys. Can I just say, they're so cute. I heard my first donkey, whatever sound they make.
Braying
a year ago. It was like amazing. Anyway, I digress. But I really love that word of untying the donkey and how we can like untie each other in our in our lives. And I guess just a twofold challenge. Number one is to ask Jesus, like, Lord, show me the donkey in my life. Like, what, you know, it's like the master has need of it. It's like, what is something that the Lord is like, yeah, I have need of it, you know? And that could be your time. That could be someone coming to the door unexpectedly or an unexpected phone call. That could be, I don't know, maybe someone needs a dinner cooked. I don't know. It's just something that like the Lord has need of it. And just to like ask for like supernatural, like radar to like, to be able to identify the donkey, you know? And also too, I think just the idea of untying, like even just to lean in this week to intentionally like affirming someone in their being or speaking truth of this to someone that in your life who is struggling with lies about something and actually just speak truth into that place. Maybe, you know, they're struggling with like belief that they're not good enough or they're unlovable and actually just speak to them. Like, I just want to tell you, you're good. You're lovable. I love you. Speak that truth to them and help untie that knot that they're struggling with. Or it could also be just maybe there's a place of unforgiveness in your life and to help untie that knot in your own heart, but in them, just to ask the Lord grace, the grace to want to forgive and then choose to forgive.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very complicated challenges. Sorry. Multi-layer.
This is great. Listen, load it up. This is the holiest of holy weeks.
Yeah.
I love these. Yeah. I think just thinking ahead of this week and how different Holy Week felt once you entered the convent, you know, we have services left, right, and center. Yeah. Jesus, beautiful. But just the reality of like, yeah, I mean, from Holy Thursday all the way through to Easter Sunday, we're like constantly in, you know, a triduum of liturgies, but that's not the reality for all of us. Like, we're lucky if we can get to a Good Friday service. We're lucky if we show up on time or at least before the gospel to Easter Sunday Mass, you know? And I think, you know, especially this week you were mentioning, Sister Anne, you know, a lot of us can almost experience an assault of thoughts of like, what should I do? What should I not do? All my cares and my worries. I mean, just getting people ready for a 3-day weekend is, I'm sure for families, a huge ordeal. Mm-hmm. But just an invitation to look out for Jesus in a new way this week and be open actually to discovering him in another person in your life. You know, who is the most vulnerable in my family or amongst my friends, or who do I notice might need me a little bit more this week? And just to be open to, yeah, Jesus walking the way of this cross this week in someone in your life and being open to that and actually, yeah, asking the Holy Spirit to get creative with you and anticipate their need at least once, you know, as opposed to waiting for a needy opportunity to notice the need and then to try and beat them to it, lay down a palm branch for them, you know? So just to be aware of Jesus in a new way and watching him show up in someone in your life already and then make a bold act of creative little love and anticipate that person's need and go before them.
Wow. I love that. Love it. That's really powerful.
It's awesome. Got a rich week ahead.
Well, what a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe sure is.
And in prayer, would you mind leading us
absolutely
in prayer?
Yeah. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come through Mary. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who you reveal in a particular and profound way this week, the infinite love and mercy of your Son, whose love knows no ends, whose hope reaches every place of our life. whose light touches every darkness and dead end. And so, Jesus, we just ask you in this week that you reveal to us the riches of your love and your unstoppable life that goes to the cross, touches every place of suffering in our life, and rises there. We pray, Jesus, that, yeah, you give us the grace to walk with you, to follow you in a new way. And we surrender our hearts to you this week, and we just invite your Holy Spirit to come and accompany us as we walk with you. Jesus, show us how to live this week. Jesus, show us how to find you in others. Jesus, help us discover you in our own hearts in a new way. We thank you for everything you're going to reveal to us. We praise you for your mighty wonders that you're working in our midst, the ones that we see and the ones that we are yet to see. We praise you in the mystery. We praise you in all our misunderstandings, Lord, that you remain faithful. Your fidelity goes to the cross and beyond the grave. And we just ask, Jesus, if you send your blessed mother in a particular way to stand by us at every moment of this week, to find meaning in the meaningless tasks, to remain steady by you, whatever comes in our life. And so, Mary, we just ask you to stand by us and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as we pray. Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Mary, Mother of Jesus,
pray for us.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, it was so great to be with you. And
yeah,
look forward to seeing you next episode, which is Easter Monday.
It's amazing.
Can't believe it. Last episode of the season.
Yep.
No more prayers for you this Triduum and definitely. Easter.
Absolutely. God bless you. We're with you in prayer and love.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
This was Let Love Podcast with the Sisters of Life, a religious community of women consecrated for the protection of the sacredness of human life. Be assured of our prayers and learn more at sistersoflife.org.